today marks the 15th anniversary of the largest protest in human history, when anywhere between 10 to 30 million people marched in 60 countries across the world to oppose the imminent invasion of Iraq by the US-led coalition. The movement was largely born out of distrust for American motives, and the justifying claim to seize weapons of mass destruction was only added to the mistrust when none of those were found in the end.
How do you coordinate such a large event?
Well, it was organized mainly in Europe by anti-war groups who had been protesting for months since the US administration first made its intentions clear, as well as groups from America and the Philippines. The message was then shared online, which was not as fast and instantaneous process as it is today. They didn't have Facebook back then, obviously, but it was still seen by many people and eventually led to protests in every region of the world except for mainland China. This included Russia, South America, and even Antarctica. The largest single protest was in Rome and Madrid, with 3 and 1.5 million marches respectively. As for Australia, about 600,000 people marched across the capital cities and in country towns, including here in Mount Gambier and Whyalla.
And yet the invasion went ahead.
Yes, despite the massive display of public opinion, Prime Minister John Howard summed it up at the time by saying, "I don't know that you can measure public opinion just by the number of people that turn up at demonstrations." There was a strong perception among protesters at this time that it was a division not between political parties, who were usually had a bipartisan approach, but between public opinion and the wider political and media establishment. The bipartisan support for what was ultimately a painful, bloody, and as yet unresolved exercise has led to widespread disillusionment, which can be seen with the rise of fringe politics and media mistrust today.
What else happened on this day?
Well, today would have been the 84th birthday of Graham Kennedy if he hadn't passed away in 2005. For those who don't know, he was considered the king of Australian television for many years, being one of the first presenters on the small screen when it first came out here in 1957.
And he certainly had a very prolific career in the media. Can you give us a bit of a brief summary?
Well, he was born in Melbourne in 1934, and he was raised by his grandmother after his parents divorced when he was very young. He left school early, working first as a newsrunner for the ABC's Radio Australia shortwave service, then in a radio station's record library, and later as a panel operator for radio personality Nicky Cliff Nichols, who put Kennedy on air with him as his sidekick in 1950.
So how did he transition from that to TV?
Well, when television first debuted in Melbourne in 1957, Kennedy was chosen to present the evening show In Melbourne Tonight for Channel 9. TV at the time was only broadcast within its own state, so every city had its own Tonight Show. This began his career on TV, which he later said terrified him for the next 40 years.
So why do people call him the King?
Well, he deliberately pushed the boundaries of acceptability in a staid era. His style was bawdy, irreverent, often smutty, sometimes deliberately camp, and laden with innuendo and double entendre. He regularly overstepped the boundaries of what was then acceptable good taste. He was a closeted gay man as well, whose act predicated a lot on repression and pushing against taboos, which any successful comedian has to know how to do.
It certainly was a bit of a different era back then. What happened on this day in music history?
Well, on this day in 1970, legendary British rock band The Who appeared at Leeds University in England. That show was recorded and eventually released as the Live at Leeds album, which is generally regarded by snobs and fans alike to be one of the best live rock recordings of all time. The Uni's refectory, where The Who performed, has since been named a national monument and even given one of those fancy blue plaques to commemorate the event.
I think we should hear something from that to judge if it's one of the best live recordings of all time. Which track do you reckon?
Well, we all know My Generation. It's a great song, but their rendition on that album goes for 14 minutes. So I think in the interest of time, we'll go with I Can't Explain.
Well, thanks, Nick.